Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cholamandalam Investment and Financial Company Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint from Kotak Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited. To discuss the 3Q FY24 performance of Chola and share industry and business updates, we have with us the senior management today. The senior management is represented by Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, Executive Director, and Mr. Arul Selvan, President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we'll take Q&A. Over to you, Vellayan.
Thank you, Nischint, and good morning, everybody. So we'll just go through the results for the quarter and the nine months ended 31st December 2023. The disbursements for Q3 were at 22,383 crores for the quarter, up by 27%, and 63,940 crores for year-to-date December, which is up by 40%. The total AUM stood at 141,000 crores, which is up by 36% year-on-year. Net income for the quarter was at 2,580 crores, which is up 41% year-on-year, and 7,073 crores for year-to-date December 2023, which is up by 37% year-on-year. The PAT for the quarter was at 876 crores, which is up by 28%, and 2,365 crores for year-to-date December, which is up by 30% year-on-year. So just some highlights. So like we said, we disbursed volume of 22,383 crores. Vehicle finance disbursements grew by 18%, aided by a steady growth in used volumes. Loan against property grew by 51%, and home loans grew by 48%, driven by branch expansion into Tier 3 and Tier 4 locations. Disbursement growth in the three new businesses was at 33%. So like we said, aggregate disbursements in Q3 FY24 were at 22,383 crores, as against 17,559 crores in Q3 FY23, for a growth of 27%. And year-on-year, we were at 63,940 crores, as against 45,512 crores, which is a growth of 40%. Vehicle finance disbursements were at 12,354 crores, as against 10,446, which is a growth of 18%. This is for the quarter. And for year-to-date, there are 35,385 crores versus 27,509 in the previous year, which is a growth of 29%. The loan against property business disbursed 3,409 crores in Q3 FY24, as against 2,255 crores in Q3 FY23, which is a growth rate of 51%. Disbursements for year-to-date December 2023 were at 9,281 crores, as against 6,537 crores in the previous year, registering a growth of 42% year-on-year. The home loan business disbursed 1,587 crores in Q3 FY24, as against 1,072 crores in Q3 FY23, registering a growth of 48%. Disbursements for year-to-date December 2023 were 4,615 crores, as against 2,425 crores, which is a growth of 90%. The SME business disbursed 1,981 crores in Q3 FY24, which is a growth of 11% over 1,782 crores in Q3 FY23. Year-to-date for SME, disbursements were at 5,971, which is a 39% growth over 4,284 in year-to-date December 2022. The consumer and small enterprise business disbursed 2,773 crores in Q3 FY24, as against 1,868 crores in Q3 FY23, which is a growth of 48%. Disbursements for year to date were at 7,980 crores, which is a growth of 77% over the 4,501 crores in year to date December 2022. The secured business and personal loans disbursed 280 crores and 8 crores in Q3 FY24 and the 9 months ended for FY24. Total assets under management stood at 141,143 crores as compared to 103,789 crores as of December 31st, 2023, which is a growth of 36%. PBT growth in Q3 was at 26% and for year-to-date December 23 was at 29% as compared to overall asset growth of 36% year-on-year. PBT ROA was at 3.3% for Q3 and for the 9 months ended to December 23. ROE was at for year-to-date was at 19.8% as against 19.1% in the previous year. The company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 7,742 crores as cash balance at the end of December 2023, including 3,765 crores invested in HQLA assets such as GSEC, T-bill, and shown under investments. The total liquidity position, including undrawn sanction lines, was at 9,932 crores. The ALM position continues to be comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches as per regulatory norms. On the ratings front, we've had some encouraging news. ICRA has upgraded the long-term rating outlook for Chola from AA plus stable to AA plus positive. Consolidated profit before tax for Q3 was at 1,157 crores as against 926 crores in Q3 FY23, which is a growth of 25%. In terms of asset quality, stage 3 levels representing 90 plus dues reduced to 2.82% as of December 2023 from 2.96% as of end September 2023. GNPA percent as per RBI norms reduced to 3.92% as of December 23, as against 4.07% in September 23. NNPA as per RBI norms also dropped to 2.456% as against 2.59% in September 2023. NNPA is below the threshold of 6% prescribed by RBI as a threshold for PCA. In terms of capital adequacy, the CAR for the company was at 19.37% as against a regulatory norm of 15%, and Tier 1 capital was at 15.55% and Tier 2 was at 3.82%. The Board of Directors also approved the payment of an interim dividend of 65%, being ₹1.30 per share on the equity shares of the company for the year ending March 31st, 2024. I'll stop with that. Thank you, Nishant, and we'll turn it over to the audience for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Couple of questions. The first one is regarding your credit cost and provision cover. So particularly if you look in Q3 versus Q2, the provision cover has come materially lower in the other segment. Now, one can understand there could be some sort of a change in the asset mix within that segment. But I mean, just in one quarter, taking down provision cover to 45% from close to 64%, what's explains this provision cover changes in this other segment? That's one. And second, if we see, I mean, the fee and commission income has seen a material jump. Your notes to accounts mention that you got the insurance broker license. But, I mean, earlier also you would have been sort of a selling insurance and the you know, income would have been recognized in some other line. So what has changed here, and is this higher fee and commission income sustainable, or was it some sort of a one-time, some one-offs? Thanks.
Yeah, with regard to the first question, the reduction is because we removed 100% provided items in the others. So if you see, the gross stage 3 has come down, and so equally the ECL provision has come down. That's the reason that the fully provided book, you know, you write it down, because, you know, for NBFCs, you don't get tax benefit unless you write it down. If you just carry them as fully provided, it does not, you know, work well from our cash flow perspective. And that's the reason we do this, you know, at frequent intervals. That's the reason. It's not a provision coverage drop. It is more a removal of 100% provisioned items, both from the gross stage 3 as well as the provision. With regard to the insurance income, yes, so far we have been receiving the insurance income through our subsidiaries over the first two quarters. You would have seen that. And from the subsidiaries, we have taken it back to into the main company by way of dividend. So since we did not have the license till then, now we got the license in this quarter. So going forward, it's where the insurance income will accrue into, straight into Chola's book.
Okay, so this level of fee income is sustainable. And on this PCR again, so in other segment, it's largely unsecured, I mean personal loan and other unsecured. So this 45% coverage, you think is sufficient?
Yes, that is, it's a mix of SME business, which is a low credit cost as well as low this thing. SPPL is also doing well. They have a very, very low NPA numbers. And CSEL is the one where we are carrying a higher provisions because of the unsecured nature. So this will keep moving up and moving down as we, you know, build the provision, write it down, build the provision, write it down. That cycle will continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Ganpati from Macurine Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so two questions. One, first on the growth itself, right? I mean, we have had some slower disbursement growth in the personal loan segment, and 4% QOQ is the overall growth that we have seen on disbursement. Because it's a base effect which is given you a 40% AUM growth. How do you look at growth for FY25? Because we are hearing that banks are cutting down their credit lines to the NBFCs. We still have a large dependence on banks. So have they increased rates? Have they withdrawn some credit lines or restricted? And consequently, what is the outlook for growth for FY25?
Yes, so Suresh, I don't think we're going to guide for FY25 in this call. You know, but basically, you know,
just a direction if you can get. Yeah.
So, you know, to your point on kind of, you know, so I think definitely, you know, what we see at least, right, and you see even in kind of in the areas we're continuing to grow on, areas we feel quite comfortable about our book with, which is basically kind of, you know, home loans, LAP have both seen good growth, and both the books are performing very well. Vehicle finance, you know, will also continue to kind of do well. So I think that, you know, we feel quite comfortable with, you know, I mean, whether the levels of growth sustain at these levels or drop slightly, we get a better indication through this quarter. But we feel quite comfortable with, you know, the current levels of growth. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it might drop a bit from here, but I don't think it's going to be too significant in terms of the drop. What we have cut back on is, you know, our partnership business in CSEL, in our consumer and small enterprise loans. So definitely we've reduced the amount of exposure to unsecured, and we continue to do that in terms of our bias for disbursements. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And so broadly, you know, I think that we don't see any trends that would cause us to get a lot more conservative going into next year.
But is the supply of funds restricted banking system? I mean, are we seeing implications with your banking partners where they are trying to restrict credit lines or they are finding RBI? Because see, the problem here is RBI is saying lending to NBFCs is going at 30% down, bring it down. Somewhere down the line, we will have to have credit lines to the NBFCs, right? Yeah.
Your voice is not clear.
Sorry. Yeah. You got the question, Vellayan?
Yeah. I think, Arul, why don't you provide a perspective because you're closer in terms of like how the banks. I mean, Suresh, again, right? I mean, I don't think availability of funds is going to be, you know, a challenge for the growth rates we're looking at. Arul, why don't you answer the question?
Yes. Yes, sir. First of all, banks are happy to still lend to us, and we are getting good lines of credit from them. Apart from banks, we are building other sources. For example, this quarter we have taken a loan from IFC of around $150 million at a very fine rate. We are seeking similar loans from other multinationals, which we will see it happening in the subsequent quarters. We are also building our retail book. We have done retail debentures, 5,000 crores. We created IM during this financial year, and all of it has been subscribed, and we have closed the issue to we closed the last tranche of the issue yesterday. Sorry, that's on Friday, and then we will get the money in a day or two. 1,500 crores is coming in from there. There is multiple sources of revenue with good credit, and thankfully, ICRA's credit rating would also help us, and hopefully, as we move forward, we should see better traction in the rating side also.
Okay, that's helpful. Just one housekeeping question. Your fintech NPA last quarter was 4.6%, is what you had disclosed. Do you know if that number come down? Any number you can share that?
No, we cannot talk about those going forward numbers, Suresh. I think we have been giving guidance on two questions per participant. Kindly stick to that, and we should come back in the queue.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Next question is from the line of Bhavesh Ratilal Kanani from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. This one is on the new lines of business. As you shared that there has been, you know, quite a few of write-offs in the lines of business that we have started recently. One, can you quantify the write-offs there? Second, if you can share your thoughts on the writing policies we are following for these new lines. To add some color to the situation, if you can share what are the corrective steps we had taken a few months back on these lines on sourcing and how to manage the quality and what has been the impact of seeing.
Yeah. With regard to the CSEL business, the way we provide is on 90+, we provide 100%, 50%, and then 180+, we provide 100%. The moment it touches the 100% provisioning, we remove it from the books because we already will get an FLDG reimbursements on that to the extent of the FLDG cover. We do this on an ongoing basis. What you are seeing as a removal this quarter is also with regard to those 100% assets which have been provided. That's where you are seeing a drop in NPA as well as with regard to the provisions coming down. This is a cycle, as I answered somebody else earlier also, is an ongoing cycle, and you will see that continuously happening. With regard to the rest of the businesses, depending on the tenure of those businesses, we have different write-off policies. Likewise, for example, in vehicle finance, we provide at the end of around 36 months in certain categories of assets and, you know, 48 months for the rest of the categories. In the case of loan against property and mortgage, it's a slightly longer tenure when we reach the 100% provisioning. In every case, when the provision coverage reaches 100%, we remove them because, as I said earlier, we need to get the tax benefit on it, and we don't get it when we simply provide, unless we write it off, we cannot get the tax benefit. So it's a difference between the current tax and deferred tax. So we need to reduce this variance between these two.
And sir, on the corrective measures we have taken for these new lines and the
business, as we clearly articulated in the past, we have two line of business in the CSL. One is the traditional, which is over feet on the street, and one is the through partner. So through feet on the street, there were no issue in terms of delinquency. It was as low as 0.6%. And in the case of partnership, or it went up to 4.7, which has come down to 2.7. So that is because we have reduced the disbursement from four partners, earlier we used to do 550 crore to 600 crore disbursement, which is now we are capping it to 250 to 300 crore. The ROAs are good in this business, so we will continue to do it, but we'll with the good partners. And we have also tightened our underwriting process with the existing partner. We started also providing them details of the roll forward rate management, what we do it in our traditional book as well as in VF and LAP for many years. So those partners are also getting benefited in terms of their collections of those cases. We have continuously focusing on reducing the roll forward rate of non-delinquent to delinquent book in the partnership book as well along with them.
Wonderful, sir. And last bit, sir, where do we book the FLDG related inflows?
That comes under the other income line, fee and other income line.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sir. Thanks for the responses.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. So a couple of questions. Firstly, in terms of the bank borrowing, how much has the rate gone up for us if you have to look at it in terms of banks trying to pass it on post the increase in the risk weights?
See, the bank borrowing rates have not moved up any significantly because they are still under the what we call as the EBLR-linked loans. So the EBLR-linked loans, the spreads have not increased. One or two banks which have tried to come with a request for a higher increase, where we are able to accommodate, if it is minimal, we have accepted that spread increase, which is in the range of around 15 to 20 basis points on a much smaller number. And in case there are requests for a higher requirement on a spread, we are pre-closing those loans and moving on to get better loans from other sources.
Okay. So overall increase will also be around about less than like 15-20 bps as such. We are not seeing much pressure out there.
Yes, I think you will not get more than that. Correct.
Yeah. And second question is with respect to OPEX. So while we are seeing some benefit with respect to the insurance income, an element which is there in the cost, or this entire increase in the cost which has been there, say on a quarter-on-quarter basis, that is more related to the core business and overall cost to assets will continue to be at the higher level?
The overall cost to assets would be in the range of around 3%. Yes, it is trending a little higher because there has been some expansions as well as some additional costs, etc. we are incurring with regard to on the IT side as well as on the plant expansion side. So we will endeavor to keep it, around the 3% mark, which is whatever, what we have spoken about at least also.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions. First one is for Ravi sir. I just wanted to understand what is the view on the vehicle cycle now. You've in the past explained that it is only when push selling starts to happen is where we start looking at maybe a downward trajectory in the vehicle cycle. Where are we in the cycle today, whether we talk about passenger vehicles? I mean, we often keep hearing that the discounts are going up now, especially in passenger vehicles. So if you could just briefly elaborate on your view on both passenger vehicles and commercial vehicles.
So in the passenger vehicle, the small entry-level cars are actually doing very well. Their discount levels are not under control, and that is the area of focus for us. The mid segment and the premium segment, the discounts have not started as it used to be in the past. Still, there is a there is a demand in that segment. So passenger vehicle, if you see the growth for the quarter, it went up by 8%, which is the among the between the commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle is PV is in the highest. Commercial vehicle, in fact, is actually lower. It is 4% in terms of the new, which was expected. So for us, the used vehicle for both PV and CV are the growth driver. And in addition to that, we are also doing small ticket size loan like two-wheeler, three-wheeler, tractor, and other product. So for the industry, if you take entire vehicle industry, including construction equipment, tractor, it went up by 18%, and our growth has been 22% in this same period for the new vehicle segment. And in addition to that, we have also done better job in terms of used vehicles. So we are quite confident that these growth levels will be continued in next year, although the commercial vehicle growth will be in single digit this year and might be in the single digit in next 2-3 quarters.
Got it, sir. Sir, and my last question was on the margin trajectory in vehicle financing. Having said that, we have already seen some rise in cost of borrowings in this quarter. So two subparts to this question. One is, how do we look at cost of borrowing spending for the next few quarters, and assuming a status quo on rates, how do we look at cost of borrowing for next year? And given that our vehicle book will kind of continue to reprice, how do we look at margins in the vehicle financing book going forward? Thank you so much.
What is the cost and what is the
margin? If you see the vehicle finance numbers which you have given, you would already see that the yields have been improving around 50 basis points, and while the cost of an increase has been only 20 basis points in the case of vehicle finance, if you refer to our presentation on page 47, volumes have started improving. So we will see the trend going forward. Unless something more differently happens in the environment, we don't know. As we talk today, our cost of funds, we are at the cusp of the hike, and unless something new happens, we should not see further rate increase other than the 10-15 basis points we spoke about earlier.
The NIM trend is 7.2, 7.6, 7.8 for last 3 quarters, and is going to go up. And the difference between the NIM from the same period of last year is also coming down from, 100 basis point to 80 basis point, and now it is coming to 30 basis point. And our marginal book yield is actually 1% higher than this book yield. So that will start, coming up, showing it up in next 2-3 quarters. So I think from the NIM point of view, I don't think any problem. We'll be continue to increase our ROA if the situation is continued as it is.
Got it. This is very useful. Thank you, and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question, and congrats on the quarter. Just firstly, a question on overall customer level indebtedness when we're talking about our LAP customers. And there's been a lot of noise about rising, leverage in the system. And these are smaller customers who might take, say, a LAP loan for their business, personal loan elsewhere. Are we tracking that data? Can you share some information on, what percentage of our LAP customers have taken PL from other lenders? And broadly, is there any merit, given where the environment is, in unsecured to slow down this business?
So loan against property for Chola is actually coming from three things. One is that the expansion happening continuously. You see that our number of branches in LAP is much lower than the vehicle finance branches. Second is that we are also having another product called Micro LAP, which we have introduced in the last year, last I think 2 years, which is actually catching up. And third important is that our east zone has also started, you know, adding numbers, which was not there actually. We were operating in three zones. Fourth zone also started adding value. So, and delinquency are coming down continuously. It has all-time lowest delinquency in loan against property because of the, you know, SARFAESI is helping us, and our disbursement LTVs are always been 50%. So that is also helping us. Now, we have been doing the scrub of our portfolio and seeing that how much our LAP customers are taking personal loan. In fact, it is much lower. And that is also reason for our, you know, existing penetration is also not high in the LAP book. So these are the scenario. Now, going forward, how going to be the growth? We are expecting that this will be, you know, much stronger than any portfolio in within Chola. As the chairman mentioned, that we are quite confident and, hoping that our LAP and HL will be growing faster among all.
Okay, so just to clarify, very few customers have taken an additional personal loan from outside the system, like outside Chola.
Relatively.
Okay, fair enough. And the second question, just for Arul sir, just to clarify, are we seeing banks also move away from repo-linked loans to MCLR-linked loans, given that there is tightness and liquidity at their end?
The point is we go to the MCLR linked loan for non-priority sector assets and EBLR linked loans for priority sector assets, because still priority sector loans are, can be priced finely and which will be always a shade lower than the MCLR price. So since banks have a restriction that they cannot lend below MCLR, there we opt for the EBLR linked loan.
Got it. And that is a two-third, one-third mix, right? EBLR versus MCLR?
You have a few fixed rate also. So we have around 15% of our borrowings in fixed rate, so they don't change. And then we have around 25-30% in MCLR linked, and the rest are EBLR linked.
Got it. Okay, sir. That's all from mine. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval from DSP. Please go ahead.
Congrats on the result. I just had one question relating to profitability. So, if you look at the 9-month PBT ROTA, that was about 3.3%. Directionally, would you agree that this is at the lower end of our sustainable band, given where we are in the margin cycle and where we are in the investment of our OPEX cycle? So, some of the new businesses scale up, would you agree that the PBT ROTA should be, more like 3.6 to 4% kind of band on a sustainable basis compared to the 3.3 where we are today? Or if there is any other part which I'm missing to understand a sustainable profitability that you're targeting of the model? Thanks.
All the businesses are laughing because that is the target we have given internally.
Well, first of all, we never guided on any focus level. Okay. Our guidance of, if at all it can be called a guidance, is that it will be in the 3.5% level. Yes, we should be there. Maybe a shade less if in a worst case scenario for the full financial year. But it also is through a cycle. We will have to see how we get across in the next financial year. This financial year, it has been a hit a little bit because of the higher cost of funds and the vehicle finance being a fixed rate book. But it will keep changing.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and wish all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Subhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Morning, Arul sir. Morning, Pandu sir. Thanks for your time. Two questions. The first one is, what is the percentage of repeat customers in each of our business, vehicle finance, home loans, and LAP? Second is, what is that percentage that we do over and above 5% mandated FLDG? Do we have some kind of soft claims on the fixed deposits of the fintech partners, which is beyond 5%?
So repeat business in vehicle finance, we are actually tracking, you know, big way because this business is quite mature. So 30% is actually we are getting from our existing customer month on month. Other businesses are lower as well, very low because long-term book. So unless the one customer completes the loan, it is difficult for that customer to go for the second loan. So the top-ups are also much lower because of the stringent norm in the other businesses. So vehicle finance is 30%. Repeat loan.
Yeah. And there are no cross-sell between the businesses. There are hardly any cross-sell between the businesses. The second question on the FLDG, we restricted to 5%. There's nothing beyond that.
But in the last call, you said that you do it beyond 5%. So that's in the transcript.
That was in the earlier scenario where we were getting higher, or those things have been stopped post the RBI guidance.
So we were doing it beyond 5%, beyond the mandated 5% by the regulator. Is that a fair understanding?
No, we are not, is what I am saying.
Yeah, within the RBI now.
The difference between the earlier norm, earlier FLDG level and the current FLDG level is adjusted in the rate which we get from the customer, from the fintech. So earlier if we were getting only 15% as the hurdle rate, now we are getting higher to the extent of the sacrifice on the FLDG.
Sure, thank you. I'll come back in this one.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations for the quarter. I wanted to understand the yield, especially on home loans. So when I look at your slide 64, it's gone up from 15.6 to 16.7 in one quarter. So can you explain what that is and if there's any one-off or any of the incomes booked there can be segregated?
No, there is no one-off income. It is the mix of the new business, new portfolio that is being built by the team in the new locations. That's what is showing up, which is, you know, the tier 3, tier 4 locations in the east and the parts. Also, you know, the floating rate book, which we had repriced over the past year when the increase happened, that time we would not have repriced all of the book because some parts of the book would not have gone through the full tenor, that is like a 1 year gap or something we leave because we don't want to reprice it immediately after issuing the book or issuing the loan. So those things, once the mandatory period of 1 year crosses, we reprice them. So such increases have also come into play. Because as you know, the recent scale-up in home loan was helpful in repricing the new book as they mature into the 1 year threshold, or cross the 1 year threshold.
Okay. So what would be the incremental yield over there? So marginal yield versus the book yield?
It is 1.5% actually across this thing.
Okay, so the marginal yield or disbursement yield would be 1.5% higher. So we can still see some bit of catch up in the overall yield in the quarters.
No, see, this happens like one time, and you know, now most of the book would have been repriced. So there would be, you know, not much to scale up from here. See, this is different from the vehicle finance book where, you know, the marginal yield of a new book consistently changes the color of the book because the old book remains, you know, at the old rate. Here, the old book is getting repriced. So, you know, please, I don't want you to, you know, think this this rate yield will go up significantly beyond this. Yeah? So, yeah, it will remain, the book yield and marginal yield is more or less same now. As we move on, if we allow to see how their yield is, you know, will pan out in newer locations as they go, and that they will build it. So there is vehicle finance, and this is a slightly different piece of game. Kindly understand.
No, of course. So basically, the repricing has happened, and now incrementally the yield is around these levels.
It will be around this level is what you should think of.
Got it. Okay, thank you, sir. That's what I wanted to check. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Saptadar from Elar Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations on a good quarter. So I have a couple of questions. So one, because I joined the call late, so is it that the insurance distribution income has seen higher commission rate from, say, 5% to 15% last quarter? Is this why there is one-off element and that's why the other income is lower? That's question number one. Question number two, I'm looking at stage 2B assets. So since the time we started reporting this number, we have never seen decline or at best it has remained stable. So which sort of business segment is contributing to this? And there's one more that I'll come back. For these two.
Yeah, see, as I was saying earlier, the insurance income started accruing into Chola's book because this quarter is the quarter where we got the license in our name. Until last quarter, we got it through the subsidiary because they used their license and they could get it and we got it as dividend. That's why the line items are different. When you get it as dividend, you take it to the other income. When you get it as a fee and commission income, it comes into our business income itself, but basically both are business income and going forward it will come in the fee and commission income as you see it now. Sorry, what was the second thing? On the stage 2B
wealth. Trends are striking.
No, as a percentage it still remains much within the, you know, it's actually a drop also. Yeah, it is a job, and as the thing grows, you will have progressive increases. The other point is also we will be doing this correction. We have always been representing our restructured book in stage 2B, which is where we will move them because most of the restructured book which have completed more than 1 year presenting in stage 2B, we can move it now into maybe 1 year or 1B. We are in discussion with auditors. These are actually lower than 60 days or lower than 31 days, but still we are showing them in stage 2B because they were restructured during the period of COVID restructuring given by as a special thing given by RBI, and we consciously kept that as 2B, you know, to identify them as a restructured assets. But now they have been performing, you know, well and remaining below the 30 days overdue, we can move them into the stage 1, which is what we are discussing with.
But the numbers in terms of percentage is actually 0.93 has come down to 0.92.
Yeah, it's come down. Percentage has come down.
So one last question I'm squeezing in. So the new business contribution you were guiding earlier will be around 15% over the next few years. So anything changes on that with the kind of systemic concern the rising? Thank you.
Can you repeat?
The new business share you had guided last quarter will be around 15% over the next few years. So anything changes on that with the kind of concerns we are seeing in the system?
No, it remains this.
No change.
Sure, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind R. from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
I would like to understand, question has been answered already. If this increase in yields on like home loan book is sustainable quarter on quarter, is this the yield it's going to be for the in the future quarters? That is my first question. And second question on vehicle segments, how do you view I can see like month on month, vehicle sales data, showing signs of slowdown. Clearly, the growth is coming from the, realization rather than the number of, vehicles sold itself. And what is your view on the segments? Thank you.
In the case of vehicle, as I mentioned, that the growth from the industry part of it will be in single digits. And, that is specific to the CV. But other vehicle like passenger vehicle or three-wheeler, two-wheeler are growing very well. Factory is down. So put together, as of now for the quarter, it grew by 18% and our disbursement for the new segment was 22%. But if you include the used business, growth, that is actually giving us a positive number. This is going to be continued in terms of, Q4 as well as next quarter. So we are quite confident that we can grow for the vehicle finance for at least for 10-20% in next year as well.
As far as home loan is concerned, since we have expanded in new geographies and tier 2, tier 3 towns, where we are keeping rates slightly higher than the yield, because we foresee for unexpected the foreseen reasons in terms of delinquencies, therefore we are keeping the rate as certainly higher, and we want to operate at that price so that we can adequately price the risk going forward.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikram Subramaniam from MWAM. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just had a follow-up on the PCR, especially in the other book. I think earlier in the call you had mentioned the PCR and the other portfolio, there is a new business portfolio, will keep moving up as you build up provisions with increasing delinquencies, and then will come off when write-offs happen, just like what happened between last quarter and this quarter. But as per LGD, isn't there a specified level of provision that we need to maintain? Could you please share some color on what that would be for the new business overall or specifically to CSEL?
So the new businesses have not gone through enough cycle to build LGD. We have taken the provisioning basis, what is happening in the industry and worked on it to conservatively build beyond that. So as we were saying earlier, we provide, while we provide at the stage 1 level around 2%, 1%, and then stage 2, and when it crosses 90 days, we provide 50%, and when it crosses 180 days, we provide 100%.
The CSEL.
And this is only in the CSEL, yeah. This is unsecured business. I think the focus of your question is more on that side. So this we will continue until we get like a 3 to 4 years of LGD experience in this business, and then we will adopt it. As if we calculate LGD in the current way we are performing, actually the provisioning requirement would be much lower. So we don't want to adopt that, and we want to conservatively build a slightly higher provisioning. This cycle I spoke about has nothing to do with the LGD. It is more like what you create as a provision and it write down from a perspective of availing tax benefit on the write downs that you are less confident of collecting, but that does not rule out any collections therefrom. We will still pursue and collect if that is possible.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the new business is including three businesses, SBPL, SME and CSEL. And so CSEL portion is only 7% and rest of the portions are 4%.
Okay, that's clear. Just one other follow-up question. Stage 1 and 2 provisions. Through the past couple of years, this specific to stage 1 and 2 provisions, cumulatively it has reduced from about 1.8%, 180 books a couple of years ago, to about 75 books right now. Again, I'm assuming this is just going by the ECL PD into LGD calculation. And as the cycle improves, you have been reducing it. But is there any cushion or probable contingent that we can provide here? Would that be something management will look at it? Because transfer seems like quite a low number for such a high growth rate of stage 1 2.
So stage 1 provision, if you see that it is actually 0.44, this is higher than the pre-COVID level. Even for the stage 2 also, the provision is 10.33% for the stage 2 book, which is much higher than the old book, isn't it?
You should not look at it in a combined way, because in a combined way, if you look at it, because when you are growing the stage 1, which is a lower loss, requirement book, then your overall percentage will look like it is coming down.
because the denominator is a larger part of the stage one. So you should always look at it stage two separately, which is slightly riskier than the than stage one, because it is standard to look at, go into the 30 plus. Stage three is where we already, we all of us know what it is. So don't look at stage one and two together. If that is the way you are looking at it, that is not the right approach, because when you are growing the book, especially when you are growing book at 30% plus, you will always seem to be at a percentage also, it is dropping. But in absolute terms, if you look at stage two, while the asset has remained more or less at the same level, in spite of the such a growth in book. For example, in September it was at 4,000 crores, now we are at around 4,100 crores. So, as percentage, the proportion of stage 2 asset has also come down, and thereby the total provision thereon has actually increased from 10.24 to 10.33. So, it is actually, we have reduced the increase in book and the provision coverage, both are being commensurate to what is happening there. So kindly don't look at it together.
Okay, got it. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwini Kumar Agarwal from Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
We're not able to hear your voice, sir.
Okay, just right. In the last quarter, the tractor industry grew, but whereas our disbursements grew 23% quarter on quarter. So can you just throw some light on that?
No, tractor industry is down by 5%, and tractor overall volume is actually up by 5%. That is because we are not only doing tractor new, we are also doing tractor used.
Okay. And in the last quarter, the liquidity became negative for the first time in many quarters. And this quarter itself is expected to be negative. So do we see an increase in cost of funds more in this quarter as compared to last quarter? And fourth quarter is typically a tight liquidity situation.
See, this time we have seen some increase in cost of funds, primarily because, if I again recall, you heard me speak about certain loans we closed when there was an increase in, increase by banks, which in our context was higher and not justified. So we close those loans. So when you close such loans, you have certain pre-closure expenses that would also be would have flown in. And as again I was saying earlier, the cost of funds in our view has sort of peaked out here, and unless something drastically different happens, either by regulatory interference or any global incidences, we don't see cost of funds going up from here. We also don't subscribe any quick rate cuts, though there are talks about it, but even without factoring in rate cuts, the cost of funds should hover around this level.
Okay. And so business loans have been flat quarter on quarter. Typically, Q3 is a strong quarter for business loans because of the festive season and whatever. Why were we flat on quarter basis?
Business loan, you are talking about CSL business? Do you have?
Yeah, so overall business loans, the disbursement was 66.20.
Sorry?
All the business loans put together, 6,620 crores.
You are talking about the growth in the AUM or disbursement?
Disbursement in the business loans.
Which line was it? You're talking about others you're talking about?
I don't know. What is that? Can you kindly repeat? Which slide you're referring to?
I think it's a particular slide, but I'm talking about overall business loans. If you look at the business loans together.
No, what are you referring to as
business data? We have not given any such data that business loan is the main.
What is business loan? Like, is it vehicle finance? All of it is business loans in our view. I don't know.
What are you referring to as business loan?
Take this question offline. And secondly, what was the impact because of the Tamil Nadu flood?
Tamil Nadu is a very small portfolio. We are well diversified from geography, and the floods were only in Chennai, not even in the entire Tamil Nadu.
Yeah, the Tamil Nadu flood is not impacted.
Not impacted much. It might have impacted a few customers in Chennai, but I don't think that's significant.
Okay, sir, that's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranath Shah from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First one is on OPEX. Just coming back to it, this quarter was elevated at 3.3. Now, you did allude to that you're currently in an expansion phase and there's also IT cost coming in. So, can this continue for another few quarters also and then you normalize maybe sometime later in FY25?
So, it is 3.1 versus 3.1 last same period. It is not that it has gone up. What we are mentioning that our OPEX will be at 3% level because of the continuous improvement in our IT as well as the expansion going on. So, it is not gone up first of all.
At YTD level, we are still lower.
Yeah, YTD it is lower.
Okay, sure. And last thing is on, like, obviously you've had higher write-offs in the new business segment. So the FLDG income for this has already been recognized, so that would come in the upcoming quarters?
Yeah, wherever we are writing off, that to that extent, FLDG income would be recognized. I think this quarter we would have recognized around 6 to 7 crores as FLDG.
Sorry, 6 to 7 crore FLDG, that would have mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Sorry, it is 12 crores.
12 crores, got it. Thank you.
The next question from the line of Nitish from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just on the housing finance and home equity, if you can share what is the average ticket size on book and incremental average ticket size on these two businesses?
So for the LAP business, the portfolio average ticket size is about 50 lakhs and through the door it is about 60 lakhs.
For the HL business, the ticket size is 13,20,000 and the tenure is around 14 years tenure.
And the LTV is 50.
Yeah, both LAP as well as the portfolio level, the LTV is about.
Just a follow-up on home loans, on that the yield of 15.7% looks very high because the listed peers in the housing finance segment, on the pure housing, the yields are more like 12-13% on the affordable housing finance side. So is this portfolio also contain some LAP book or is it just pure housing book?
No, it is pure home loan only and self-construction housing loan. As we expanded into newer geography, we have expanded the disbursement. Other than South, like you, we have mentioned that in the last one and a half years, we have been expanding non-South. So non-South business has actually started growing and as the South and all non-South will start actually doing the similar growth, then obviously the number will not be going further. So this particular yield is actually because of two. One, the expansion, and second is the reset of the pricing. And after that, it will not be going up.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you so much. As that was the last question of the day, I now hand the conference to Mr. Nishit for closing comments.
Thank you for joining the call today. We thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call.
Thank you.
On behalf of Kotak Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.